Midnight Patriots Nation, welcome back. On this episode, we're going to break down the 2024 primary ticket. Cheney's egomaniacal response proves her ego is as large as the Lincoln Memorial, and the fallout for Mar-a-Lago. Strap in, listen up. You are not going to want to miss this one.
Midnight Patriot Nation.
Midnight Patriot Nation.
Podcasting around the world. It's time for another release of the Liberty Virus with your hosts, Spartan, Cryptic, and Burton.
Those guys are pretty intellectual.
Intellectually stimulating.
Strap in, listen up.
Thanks for joining us, Midnight Patriot Nation. Cryptic here. We're going to start off tonight's episode with talking about the big elephant in the room. Trump's raid on, the FBI raid and DOJ raid on Trump's estate, and how it became more of a fishing expedition than anything else. I don't know about you, but this is kind of unprecedented. We've never had a president's estate been raided before. As everybody has seen, the DOJ has come out and said stuff like, oh, we tried being nonchalant, blah, 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 when you raid on with thousands of or hundreds of agents swooping in and checking anything and everything. I mean, literally, I find it convenient, one, that it's, you know, coming up on midterms and they decide to do this. Not to mention the fact that the January 6th circus is still going on, which makes me think that, it was possibly kind of a cover to do more fishing to try and find something to actually tie him to the January 6th proceedings versus them still not having anything actually on him. So that's kind of how I feel about this. It brings a big distrust to the federal organizations, such as the DOJ, the FBI, on how politicized they've become. Spartan, what do you think on this?
Oh, good Lord. It's hard to wrap my mind around this to actually put it in great thoughts. I tell you what though, I will say this. I was listening to Mark Levin a couple of days ago, the great one, and he makes the argument that not only is it a fishing expedition, but the premise is completely devoid of any value. It's my understanding and from every legal scholar I've heard from saying that the president is essentially not subject to the portions of the Espionage Act that they're trying to charge him with, because it is ultimately the president that is responsible for the classification and declassification of documents. There is no process for the president to go through as it pertains to classification and declassification. Those that work under him are required to follow a process, fill out forms, etc. But the mere act of the president's desire to declassify something is enough for it to be declassified. So if those documents were declassified on his way out of the White House prior to Joe Biden's swearing in ceremony, he's still the president. He still gets to declassify them. And all of this is a moot point anyway. There's arguments that have been made about possession, the possession of documents being illegal. And again, it doesn't apply because something is declassified doesn't mean it has to be published or given to the National Archives. Were that the case, then every ex-president from, I believe, the Carter administration on would have been raided in this fashion. There really is zero way to untie politics or separate politics from this. I mean, we're coming up on a midterm. According to all reports, the Trump legal team was in negotiations with the DOJ, with the National Archives, as it pertains to, you know, what documents would be turned over when, et cetera, et cetera. There was no hint of zero cooperation. Resistance is not zero cooperation, or making someone prove a legal statute is not cooperating. Ultimately, the FBI pulled the trigger to do this. The FBI and the DOJ did this. And, you know, I keep going back to the fact that it's impossible to separate the politics, because, I mean, Merrick Garland, Trump basically pulled his nomination to the Supreme Court. So, you know, as a lawyer or a judge, you've worked your whole career to get to the Supreme Court. It looks like it's going to happen. Why would you ever want to get back at the guy that pulled your nomination in the first place? You know, then you have the supposedly unconnected events of Biden saying something like Merrick Garland needs to stop acting like a professor and start acting more like a cop. The whole thing just to me is just number one, inappropriate, and number two, smacks of politics. The timing, the documents they were searching for, the fact that they waited until he was in New York rather than in the Mar-a-Lago estate, the fact that the FBI agents that were there demanded that the security cameras be turned off, which fortunately the Trump team didn't do. The fact that they searched Melania's closet. I don't take any particular moral stance on that, but I'm just wondering if maybe Anthony Weiner wanted some of her clothing. or the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. That being said, like I said, this whole thing stinks. Okay. And anybody that thinks that, that the FBI and DOJ can't and won't be used for as a political tool. I mean, these are the same people that outright lied. I'll say it again, lied to FISA courts to get warrants to spy on the Trump team and President Trump himself. Okay. They pushed and leaked the Russia collusion hoax. And it took 3 years to dig out from under that. And you've got liberals walking around that still believe it. I mean, there's no way this is not politically connected. And now we found out this week that Biden even, did in fact, someone in Biden's administration, if not Biden himself, knew that the raid was going to be conducted. So there's a whole lot of smoke there, and I see zero fire. I mean, Trump's spent the last 6 years being investigated for one thing or another, and they keep coming up with zero, nothing, nada. So again, this is all a ploy to make Trump and Trump-backed candidates look like crap, and for leftist psychos to maintain power. That's my take on it. I mean,
a couple quick items here, and then we'll pass it off to Bert. We'll see how he feels. But it was kind of interesting bringing up the fact. Well. I'm pretty sure somebody probably forgot to give their wife a present, and that's why they raided the closet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They're like, oh, we need something for my wife. And then you talk about the redacted documents that they released that pretty much clears up absolutely nothing.
that was, I'd like to touch back on that for just a second. I don't mean to steal the mic back, so to speak, but
liar.
My thing is, when they said the judge was going to allow the document to be redacted, did they really expect it to look like anything like any other freaking classified investigation or quote unquote UFO document has ever looked like? I was surprised there was any, I was surprised there was 5 to 6 words in it. Evidently a grand total of like 4 out of the 60 page affidavit had been, well, was legible.
It was so funny Trump decided to troll him. It was like, hey, you missed a spot.
Right, exactly. You missed blacking out something. Yes.
Also talking about the Espionage Act, I find it ironic that Trump had mentioned that Hillary should be tried under that because of, personal emails deleted, devices destroyed, everything. Well,
frankly, she wasn't the president.
Yeah.
She was required to follow that process that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yet nothing happened to her. I mean, they pretended to investigate, but they pretty much just did a slap on the wrist of, oh, you shouldn't use your private stuff, and moved on. Like, it just got buried.
Well, and another point that Levin brought out, and I'm becoming a bigger fan of Mark Levin as time goes on, but that being said, Another thing that he pointed out is that you can't use the Espionage Act because you have to prove that Donald Trump that Donald Trump was intended to share that with an unfriendly government, to damage the U.S. It's like, well, good luck. He installed the lock that you told him to install. So if that wasn't secure enough, maybe you should have told him to install something different. But
right. Well,
the whole thing stinks.
They'll try and wrap it back to Russia just, you know, to try and still make them look like there was Russian collusion somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And that's the funny part. And they'll disregard Mueller's report that they spent millions of dollars on this. Oh, yeah. We have no evidence that this happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that it causes a big uncertainty with, like I said, the DOJ, the FBI. Now you've got the IRS with 87,000 new agents. I mean, tell me that these agencies aren't being politicized.
Well, forget about politicization. They've been corrupt for years now. I mean, does anybody remember Ruby Ridge and Waco? I mean, honestly, does anybody remember that? Those were FBI and DOJ operations that happened under Democrats, but people, you know, want to forget about that.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Burton, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, excuse me, a couple of things. Pretty much have elaborated already on most of this, and in my opinion, it's going to be kind of like what Van Jones once said: it's going to be nothing but a big nothing burger. You're already trying to jam him on the sealed dossier. You're already trying to jam him on two impeachments, and now you got this Mar-a-Lago goofiness going on. And the thing is going to turn out to be a bunch of BS that, you know, that these politicians or these other, the Department of Justice or whatever, for whatever reasons, that these guys got to keep digging up stuff on a president who basically got us out of a lot of bullshit and basically ruined a garden party for both parties. Okay. Ruined it for the Republicans, ruined it for the Democrats. And they're still irritated. They're still butthurt about it. And the second part of it is that being that I was a former military guy, being that I had a top secret U.S. Government clearance, that when a president goes from, when you go from one president to another, you're not going to keep the same nuclear codes. That would be just absolutely stupid. So even if Trump had nuclear codes, so what? You're going to change it once Biden takes office. You're not going to keep the same codes. So I don't understand why, you know, even if Trump had nuclear codes, why everybody gets so butthurt about it? So what if he did? They're not going to be the same codes of what Biden's holding or what Obama held. It's just stupid. So, you know, and again, you know, when you have these witch hunts going on from not only from a uniparty, it's Democrats and Republicans working to me together. But again, you know, I'll harp on other topics down the line about how I think politics is like pro wrestling. But anyway, I digress. But that's kind of my spin on how Mar-a-Lago is. It's going to be ended up to be bullshit. It's just going to fade away. Just like you said, like, no, dude, and we move on.
Totally tripped. I totally agree, man. And here's the other thing too. Let's back up the train here just a moment. Okay. if again, as you said, whether he had any sort of nuclear codes or whatever, they're irrelevant because again, I'm sure they change at a frequency that changes more often than even the presidential change. But that being said, what kind of scathing fucking indictment is it against our national intelligence apparatus that if Trump did in fact have nuclear codes, it took them 18 months to get them?
They could have got them anytime.
Dude, if you or I, if they even suspected a private citizen of possessing nuclear codes or some sort of, you know, compromising nuclear secrets, we would be disappeared. They would use the Patriot Act, kick in our front doors and disappear us and make it like we were never born. Okay. And that would happen in, I would say, minutes, if not hours. But right. What kind of scathing indictment is that to go on TV and say, oh, well, he could have had nuclear secrets. And somehow the alphabet soup intelligence agencies, A, didn't know it, and B, didn't do anything about it for 18 months? Yeah.
That takes back too to the fact that, you know, if it was so urgent, why was it that it took, what, 14 days? Or they drafted, it took 2 or 3 days to decide whether to actually do the search warrant. And then
right.
it had an actual time frame of up to 14 days to actually execute it. I mean, that doesn't sound very urgent to me.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, so you wait almost 19 months to seize sensitive nuclear documents? I forget about, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know about FERC here, but, total honesty, if something is urgent, you don't wait 18 months. Okay. And, so you waited almost 19 months to seize any kind of sensitive nuclear data. Forget about codes. Cause when I say codes, I basically am talking about that type of information in its entirety. I'm sure Burton, you probably are meaning the same thing, but. Yeah, I mean, if he had launch codes, they're irrelevant, number one. Number two, but any other sort of data that was, SCI, special compartmented information or whatever, if it's that important, that should have been seized in hours, not months. Does that make sense? It the whole thing reeks of bullshit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, let's call the raid exactly what it is. Is that it's the Democrats are scared. Because they know what's coming in November. They know that
keep in mind, there's already just Democrats involved in this.
I'll agree.
Oh, no, I know. But I guarantee you, right, that what this basically boils down to is that the Democrats are scared, right, of the fact that the red wave is coming. And so they are looking for anything. They basically did this in hoping that it would drop his popularity and it would taint Trump so he wouldn't run 2024. And it actually did the opposite boosting his polls and making more people look at him and be like, hey, guess what? Obviously, if they're hunting for him, there's a reason. There's a reason they have a target on his back, and it's because they're scared. They don't want to get turned upside down like they had the last 4 years with everybody being uneased and told to go shit themselves or eat a bag of dicks because of the fact that he didn't like the way they talked to him.
Well, the other side of that is that it reminds me the whole thing reminds me very much of that scene in Blazing Saddles, the classic Blazing Saddles, where, you know, the governor is in there and they're all going, harumph. And he says, we've got to protect our phony baloney jobs, gentlemen. Harumph, harumph, harumph. And I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. Okay, that reminds me that this just reeks of all that. They've got to justify somehow to even their most moronic base members that this all was justified, and so they themselves don't get indicted. Where I don't think that's going to happen, man. I'll be honest with you. I have high hopes for the red wave if it happens, but I got to tell you, man, I have low hopes for anything actually happening unless they start to make folks like Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene or what's the other guy? Unless they start making these Republican firebrands chairs of these committees that are actually going to investigate this garbage. I don't have a whole lot of hope for anything to actually change. And I'll leave my opinion there. So.
What about you, Burton? You got anything else to final thoughts on this before we start talking about the new 2024 ticket and planning?
Oh, let's go. not for right now. That's pretty much my spin on it. I just think it's a big, like Paul said earlier, it's just a smokescreen. Like you said earlier, that it's out of fear that, hopefully there will be a whole big change of congressional people come November, but I kind of agree also that, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Midnight Patriot Nation. Well, that's our take on the Trump raid and all the bullshit going on so far. Give us a minute and we'll be right back and talk about the 2024 ticket. All right. Thanks for hanging with us, Midnight Patriot Nation. Next, we're going to talk about the 2024 ticket since midterms are coming up. And oddly enough, we kind of have some different stances here at Midnight Patriot. Spartan, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with your stance on what you hope to see on the 2024 ticket?
Well, yes. First of all, I would like to announce that as the founding member of Midnight Patriots, you must all agree with me or else you're wrong and I will go on a tirade.
Don't listen to it. No, don't do that anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was channeling my inner Democrat. Sorry. somehow I channeled Nancy Pelosi there for half a
second. Be a victim. Yikes.
I know. Well, I can't get snow justice, things like that. Anyways. Yeah, so I was actually surprised. Midnight Patriots.
Yeah, but I had no deferring.
That you are allowed. And also, we do allow drinking on this show. as both Cryptic and Burton will attest to. So I was actually kind of interested in a discussion that we had off the air that I am actually in the minority. And I will explain my position and then y'all can have yours. And nobody's necessarily right. Nobody's necessarily wrong. I think this is all just a strategy to meet the ends. So my stance is that I'm a Trump guy, and I think you guys, everybody out there knows that. And I make no bones about that. The reason I find Trump to be such a powerful candidate is, in my mind, he pisses off all the right people. He has rhinos screaming. He has socialists screaming and heads exploding left and right. And I enjoy the shit out of that. He is the type of fighter that, when somebody throws a punch, he'll counter punch. I appreciate that. And, he's basically made the Republican Party grow spines to a large extent. Do I agree with everything he does? Absolutely not. Do I, is it a cult of personality thing? Also not. I'll say it this way. In any sporting event, you don't have to have the greatest player to win the game. You have to have the best strategy. That's been proven multiple times. That said, we can all bitch and piss and moan about mean tweets or, whatever, like, for instance, I was livid when Trump passed the bump stock ban and when he raised the tobacco purchasing age to 21. I find both to be ludicrous and stupid. I think that adult persons in this nation can decide for themselves what they put in their own bodies or what they don't. And I don't feel like you're protecting anyone from nicotine by raising the age of consent to 21, especially when at the age of 18, you can go and volunteer for the military and consent to have basically going to a place where bullets could be shot into your body against your will. That being said, in my mind, Trump checks all the boxes. The dream ticket, as far as my particular goals are concerned, because I enjoy winning, is a Trump DeSantis ticket. And I'll explain my position here very, very quickly. Right now, you can call Trump many things. The one thing you have to acknowledge is that I believe he's got an 80% success rate, 80% or higher success rate on candidate endorsements. So despite all the mud that they've slung at Trump, despite their many attempts to take him down, he's proved to be the Teflon Don in more ways than one. Okay. There's no there. Okay. Every time they try an impeachment, every time they try an investigation, there's nothing there. So that's number one. Number two, everything the left does to, in some way discredit the man or whatever, only energizes not only his base, but expands his reach to other people. So even moderate fence sitters are leaning towards a Trump candidacy. Ron DeSantis is going to make an awesome president. I want to make no bones about that. Okay. But if there's a Trump DeSantis ticket in 2024, I think you win and you win heavily based on the success records of both candidates. Are there other tickets that might be good? Absolutely. I don't think there's any other ticket that is a win all the way down the ballot, because what we have here is, even if let's just speculate for a moment, even if you have a Trump DeSantis ticket, Trump DeSantis wins, and I think that ticket would probably be a landslide, but it depends largely on what the Republicans do with the power that they get after this midterm. If the red wave happens, and I say if, because, and just as a side note, Midnight Patriots Nation, get your ass out of your chair and go vote. Do not, I repeat, do not count on the fact that this is going to happen without you. All right. As a dad, I watched the movie Mulan about 7,000 times, and there's a scene in it where the emperor says a single grain of rice may tip the scale, and that he wanted every available man to serve in the army or whatever. That's not the point. A single vote can tip the scale. Just remember that. Why do they keep score? Because 1 point is good enough to win. Do not count on that point coming from someone else. Make the point yourself. I don't give a shit who you vote for. Get your ass out of your chair. Go down and vote. Now, back to what I was saying, and I apologize for that little rant. If you have a Trump DeSantis ticket, you use Trump to get elected. DeSantis is a heartbeat away. Let's just say something does happen and they miraculously dig up something they consider proof and they impeach Donald Trump and remove him from office. I highly doubt that's going to happen, but let's just say it does. Let's just say that happens. Now you have DeSantis as the president. I can't think of another governor that I'd rather have be president than Ron DeSantis, who basically knows exactly how to handle liberals, reporters, the press, et cetera, et cetera. All right, number one. Number two, DeSantis is the embodiment of America First, just like Trump is. Okay, DeSantis has a winning record because he basically told the federal government to go fuck themselves and they were going to handle the COVID response the way they thought best at the local level. Bravo to him. And as a result, Florida's economy is back to thriving and the people are happy and they call it now the free state of Florida for a very large reason. You have DeSantis as president. If DeSantis is appointed president because Trump can, for whatever reason, no longer fulfill the duties in his second term, he then gets to run for re-election again. So you have 12 years of America First politics and policies being implemented. I see that as a win-win. I don't see a more powerful combination. I mean, to make a sports analogy, you've got the number one quarterback receiver combo of all time running in the Republican race. If you have a Trump DeSantis ticket, my colleagues here at Midnight Patriots are absolutely entitled to their opinion, but as a member of the Midnight Patriots, I have to tell you, they're both wrong and smell funny, but I appreciate and respect them, and I'll let them go ahead with their points of view. And Cryptic, you want to take it back, or we want to do first?
Yeah, I mean, a couple quick things I want to throw off to Burton here in just a minute, but so. Briefly, I do want to say, you know, I was never against Trump. Like, you know, I thought the first 4 years was definitely great because he came in not a politician, but as a businessman. And
let me say real quick, and I don't mean to cut you off. I don't think either of my colleagues are anti-Trump. If I made that allusion, that is absolutely was not the intention. Please go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, we're not anti-Trump. Right. Like, I voted for him both times. I loved how he was a businessman instead of a politician when he came in the first 4 years, and ran this country as a business versus, you know, playing politics and being a politician, as well as the way he basically, you know, you're doing something right if you make people hate you. I mean, honestly, that's always been my philosophy, is if you are pissing off enough people, obviously you're doing something right.
Absolutely.
And you know, I didn't care about the mean tweets. Yeah, I didn't agree with all of his policies or some of the things that he did. I think he definitely could have been, he probably could have been a little less, brash, if you will, as far as like some of the ways that he handled some things. I think if he would have had a little more tact, it probably would have went smoother, but at the same time, that's it. I mean, I don't need a grandpa to be my president. I need someone who can get the job done and take care of America First. With that, I do have some things as far as the 2024 ticket stuff going, but I want to hear from Burton first. So Burton, go ahead and chime in here.
Well, we got a couple of things. One is, like Mr. Spartan just said a few minutes ago, if you get up off your ass and go vote, my thing is, don't vote for a Republican. Vote for a conservative. There's a lot of Republicans out there who are nothing more than rhinos or Democrats who take the Republican name.
Liz Cheney, that's fine.
Exactly.
Well said.
That's just one of them. I could name probably 10 more, but I'm going to refrain from that for now. But just for, you know, people who are conservative, not Republican. My thing is, I like Donald Trump, too, for that very fact that he's not a politician. That was part of the beauty of it. He pissed a lot of people off. He ruined the Garden Party. He ruined it for the Republicans and the Democrats. These people were all like, oh, we can't have this guy. You know, he screwed all our stuff up. We got to get rid of the Scott Scoobat. And that's what they've been trying to do for the past, coming about 6 years. And so, you know, my thing is that if Trump wasn't nominated or doesn't nominate himself to become president, my thing is I really don't want to see Ron DeSantis in there. And the reason is because I like him as the governor of Florida. And when Charlie Crist ran and is now the Democrat nominee for governor of Florida, one of the first commercials that Ron DeSantis' campaign threw out was that how much he likes Joe Biden. And basically has him on there just saying, yeah, I think Joe Biden's doing a fantastic job. Well, Floridians, if you people are stupid enough to vote for that nitwit, he screwed stuff up when he was a Republican as governor of Florida. Yeah. And so, you know, now he became a Republican, then he became an independent, and now he's a Democrat. This some bitch doesn't know which way to go because, number one, he's never held a job in his life. He's been a politician probably since he was 25 years old, okay? That, to me, speaks volumes. Come on. Get some people in there who are not politicians. Get some folks in there who will kick rocks, will break stuff, and make stuff happen. In a positive way. I mean, my thing, if Trump ran for president, my vice president choice would be Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. I would love to see her in that spot.
That's a good one.
Because she doesn't tolerate any kind of bullshit either. That's the constituents of South Dakota. She's not going to put up with that. You know, she doesn't mince words. And believe me, people in South Dakota are just as intelligent as folks from New York and California and Illinois. They're just as intelligent. So I would love to see Kristi Noem. I'm not sure who else to be honest with you, as a qualified VP, at least not at this time. So that's kind of where my stand is on that.
Yeah, and, well said, and part of what brought up DeSantis, right, is me and Spartan, when we were talking offline, we were kind of looking, and by the time 2024 comes up, DeSantis will have to step down as governor. Just because, like, we looked up the Constitution for Florida, right? And he can't run past 2 years, two terms before he has to take a term off before he can do it again. That was what led us to having DeSantis on as a VP, is his term would be up as governor, and so he would need something to do. And with all the changes he's been making and all the people he has behind him, I mean, he is only a few points behind Trump to begin with.
Good point.
So, I mean, that was our big reason. Like, I think we're all on, at least I know me and Spartan are on board as far as having DeSantis as
DeSantis as the VP.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we were coming with DeSantis, was we knew his term would be up at the time 2024 hits. Which would leave him a nice opening to be able to move up, at least either in a VP or a president position, you know, because of the fact that he wouldn't be able to be governor again. And hopefully he has somebody in line to take over for being governor for him that he endorses. And then you don't have to worry about, you know, dumb shit. Ever becoming in charge.
Well, you know, to your point, and I'm sorry, Burton, I didn't mean to cut you off here. To your point, Cryptic, and you make a hell of a good point here. and Burton, as a resident of the state of Florida, let me ask you a question. It would be an absolute slaughter if the guy that got DeSantis' endorsement and gets Trump's endorsement, I don't think there's going to be any competition. So whoever they give the nod to in Florida, I think would win. You think that's a true point, or am I off base there?
Are you talking about the Democrat nominee for governor right now?
No. I'm talking about whoever. Okay, so it's DeSantis in 2024 has to at least take one term off. Let's just say that he does run with Trump as Trump's VP. I would think that whoever, you know, DeSantis endorses would also get the Trump endorsement as kind of part of the package deal. I don't think whoever they nominate would lose. I mean, that's just my opinion. What's your
thought? DeSantis is lieutenant governor. She would do things quite well.
Sweet. All right.
I don't remember her name, to be honest, on the top of my head, but I know she's a woman, of course. Not that transsexual bullshit. She's a real woman. She's black, but she's very conservative. DeSantis made a really good selection with her, and she would make a really good governor. And I think she would get DeSantis and Trump's endorsement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cryptic, I know you're about to start your thing. You meant and I'm not even going to interrupt, but I did want to give a spoiler. You mentioned something that I found really great. I forget what is it? Was it Tim Scott that you said? Trump picking Tim Scott, the senator for
well, no, not quite. Tim Scott is in the spoiler, but no, my point is going to be a little bit different here. I want to make sure.
Sorry, yeah.
Do you have anything else to add before I start my little spiel? Fire away. All right. So here's my take on 2024. Okay, first of all, like I said, I was totally for Trump. However, I do feel like Trump is, for the better or worse word, Trump is tainted by everything the Democrat and the left have tried to do to destroy him for the last 6 years. I mean, he's not even in office and they're still attacking him. Now, I understand this boosts his polls and everything like that. Coming from my standpoint, I don't really want him to run again. And that's only because of the fact that I think you get the same thing that we honestly had for Biden's vote.
Mascots.
Yeah. They knew I was going to say Biden and they had to bark at
and
that.
They don't like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But so here's my thing is that, I feel like a big reason that Biden won wasn't because he had popularity. You know, I mean, he stayed in the basement forever. The problem is that there was more people that disliked Trump than liked Biden, but they would rather vote to get mean tweets out and someone who, you know, is doing the country great. They decided to, for whatever reason, they just couldn't stand him because they automatically figured, you know, with the mainstream media painting him as racist, a xenophobe and everything else, that they basically, people voted for Biden just to get rid of Trump. Not that they liked Biden more.
Right. So it's cool. I just want to clarify. So basically your position is it was more of an anti-Trump vote than a pro-Biden vote.
Correct. And because of all the stuff that is still floating around and that, you know, mainstream media is still twisting on and the events of the last 6 years. And I'm not going to lie, why I say that the election was stolen due to, you know, the FBI coming to Facebook and telling them to bury the Hunter Biden laptop, just everything to keep people uninformed, like labeling it disinformation, is that I think with them doing that, it has just kept it to where whoever runs in 2024, which I honestly think Biden will be out and Newsom will be in.
You're probably right about that.
Even though Biden has said that he's going to run again, the problem is that his own party doesn't have confidence in him. So they're going to replace him. I mean, we already know this. So it's probably going to be Newsom. Okay. Well, with all the stuff that has been going on that has been a spotlight on Trump, even though it has backfired and increased his polls and everything like that, I feel as though the Democratic Party would get the it's not Trump votes. Versus if we got rid of, or not got rid of, but if Trump didn't run, instead he went out and did his Make America Great Again, widespread sprinters
and stuff.
and his Twitter and everything else to endorse the actual ticket. I guarantee you that would, and everybody's seen what DeSantis has done and everything else, that I think that would be a better boost and better for the U.S. as a whole. Even though, like I said, Trump was a no bullshit kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I think it would ultimately benefit us and help us get back to some sort of sanity, right? There wouldn't be the constant, I mean, you're still going to have this horrible divide that you have anymore in politics, but right, I think right. that with a different ticket, and my ticket idea would be, what I would like to see is honestly DeSantis and Tim Scott. That would be my ticket, right? With Trump's endorsement. Okay. So that you still get the Trump diehards and the Trump fans and everything like that still on board to pick them. Plus everybody who's anybody has been able to see video clips and everything else of these gentlemen speaking and the way that they have ruled, or well, not ruled, but how they have governed and how they have helped shape their communities and everything like that. I think that would be a better push. One, it gets people not to see Trump's name on a ballot and automatically tick the other box, right? Because, I mean, that's what I feel like a lot's going to happen, is that people just are tired of Trump. Like, because of the fact that, you know, even 2 years into him not being president, that's all the left can spew is talk about Trump still. So I think it's one of those things of like, you know, when you hear something so much, you kind of get tired of it. And I'm not saying that I'm tired of Trump at all. I'm just saying that I think the way to help push us back to where we need to get is have Trump help them, right? Because Trump's going to be older anyways, right? I don't know if necessarily if he's going to have any cognitive issues, but I mean, his ranting about the 2020 election and all that stuff and not letting it go kind of hurt, in my viewpoint, and I think in a majority of viewpoint, it just kind of hurt his image of a baby who just doesn't want to take his ball and go home. I mean, I hate to sound like that, but
no, you make a solid point. I did have a question for you though, and maybe, like I said, maybe I missed it. What's coming through loud and clear, and it's totally fine, is that you'd rather have him sit in the background and basically be the head coach of the team and not be on the field. And I don't necessarily I don't want to say counter, but I don't think that's a bad idea. As it pertains to the anti-Trump vote, though, I got to question your logic. Let me ask you this. See, I think that the narrative that you're talking about is accurate, but at the same time, I think they've played their hand, and it's my belief that Americans are smart, okay, and mostly, and especially our audience. But I think the Democrats have played their hand. Everybody knows they lied. I think there is deep buyer's remorse for the Bidens and the Democrat ticket as a whole. What are your thoughts on that? Because I hear what you're saying, but what I'm thinking is what you're talking about is applying more to moderates as opposed to dyed-in-the-wool type conservatives and just secular Republicans as it is. I think what you're saying is accurate, but it applies more to moderates. And I'm thinking that with all this being played and everybody figuring out that basically, you know, Joe Biden's plan to fight COVID was to get elected and then reveal that there is no plan, number one. And him hiding in his basement, I think you're right, brought out an anti-Trump vote. But I think that card has been played. I don't think they're going to get a second bite at the apple on that one. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to beat you up, but before you respond to it, Burton, am I way off base here in your opinion, or is that you find that might be accurate? I'm just curious because I'd like to hear your thoughts, and then obviously we'll kick it back to Kirkpick and let him explain a little bit further about where he's going or if I'm on track. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think that if Trump decided not to nominate himself for president, that
he can't nominate himself, but he doesn't have to accept the nomination. Go ahead.
Right. What I'm saying, if he doesn't throw his hat in the ring and says, I want to run for president again. Okay.
Right.
But he, it would be foolish not to use him as a highly, highly looked upon advisor,
a kingmaker, so to speak.
It's kind of like that, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, I mean,
absolutely, yeah,
exactly. You know, I mean, of course, whoever the Republican nominee is going to be, you know, if it's not Donald Trump, that they're going to use, the media is going to just spin that bullshit as, you know, we know Trump's out there. And we know he's pulling the strings, you know, that you guys don't have your own original ideas, and you got a guy that's got to go, you know, get behind Trump's coattails, you know. Mm-hmm. So no matter what it is, the Republicans are going to have an obstacle to face, whether Trump's the nominee or not.
Cool, man. Thanks for chiming in. Sorry. And Cryptic, please don't feel like I was. It's not so much an argument. I'm just curious as your thoughts on what I was just saying. Because I think they played their hand, and I think there's a lot of buyer's remorse out there, especially among the moderates that did do the anti-Trump thing. Has that factored into your thinking at all, or do you think that's still very prevalent among the moderates that would sway them to the other side?
Well, no, I mean, that did kind of go into my thinking, right? And I think a big portion of it will be the moderates and independents that are up in arms as far as, mm-hmm. you know, if Trump is on the ticket, do we go for him, or do we remember the 4 years he was, that he was in charge? And even though everything was booming, you know, their feelings were hurt. I get that. Right. You know, the same thing goes with the fact that I do think that they have, the Democrats and the left have laid their hands, and people might have buyer's remorse. But at the same time, if we go back to what I was talking about, the fact that, you know, Biden's own party doesn't like him, we're talking about possibly a new candidate against Trump that can spin stuff with California, even though we know it's going to a shithole. But that's besides the point, right? You know, they passed the thing about, you know, trying to play more towards the global friendly with banning gas cars by 2035. And some of the other things that we're talking about now, a possible different ticket, because like I said, I don't see Biden running in 2024. I see one way or another, he's not going to get the nod. Because everybody realizes that that the American people are smart enough that they saw through Biden, that it's going to be that they're going to have to bring somebody out that can be a hard hitter to try and draw in those that are at a crossroads on who they want to vote for. That's kind of where I'm going with on this is I've taken Biden out of the picture. Yeah, if they put Biden on there, it wouldn't matter. Who you put on the ticket, they will destroy him because everybody's seen that Biden's full of shit. But
I agree.
Yeah. I'm talking more about if you're seeing a new candidate come out for the Democratic Party, a younger candidate, like I said, that can talk about, or I mean, you know, that can use California's economics and everything, which, yes, like I said, understand that it's gone down and it's pretty much a shithole now, but you know, they could still spin it one way or another to make it sound real like it's, you know, Disneyland.
I agree. I just think that it doesn't really matter how you can wrap a turd in the Disney logo and it'll still be a turd. I mean, that's I don't
see it until they unwrap it.
Well, I agree, and that's the point, is that And it's cool. And it's cool that we disagree. And I value your opinion. I just think that I value your concerns, and I think they're accurate. But I don't think they're as powerful as the treatment that the American people have received under the Biden administration. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, basically, they passed basically, you know, a whole host of crap, pretend, you know, as a massive virtue signal to prove how superior they are to everybody else. And, you know, meanwhile, we're all paying, we were paying $5 a gallon gasoline. It was basically, again, like they were telling us, well, you should have thought of that before you became members of the working class.
Which is true. But the other part to add to this, too, is that you've got to realize that in 2024, you have a whole new generation of voters. One had their loans forgiven.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? And we'll talk about that. I got a bites coming up about that that will be very enlightening, but I agree. And I think when they find out that it's a complete sham and con, I think that might tip the tables.
Well, like I said, we still also have 2 years of the current administration to see what kind of rabbit they pull out of their hat, right? Mm-hmm. That could sway people to just dislike Trump enough to vote. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that my personal thing is I would rather not see Trump on the card. I'd rather him be a behind the scenes. I mean, you know, I figure, you know, you think about business, right? And all great businesses have the one person who's behind that creates the better team below. And that's kind of what I'm thinking is if you put DeSantis and Tim Scott as president and VP, their records already stand alone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Trump's endorsement on top of that. And then you also have proven records with them as well as Trump's record, all to tie it in. And the fact that they're aligned with Trump's beliefs and systems as far as making America great again and keeping everything, you know, little government, all of that, I think they're a win ticket too. Now, I'm not going to say Trump's not going to take it because, I believe Trump is kind of one of those. I mean, he's big and boisterous, right? So if he gets the nod, he's going to take it just because that's his personality. He's not going to turn it down. We already know this. It's just my stance is that I would rather not see him to try and help the country heal some versus just everybody going at their throat still. That's pretty much my take on it.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah. Either one of you guys have anything to add or touch back on before we decide to move on to the next segment?
No, I'm good, man. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Welcome back, Midnight Patriot Nation. Your host, Cryptic, here for the night. We're going to now dive into what can only be considered comic relief of some sort to break up the madness, I guess. Let's talk about Liz Cheney. And, you know, I've never seen a political figure get bitch slapped by her own state so hard. To kick off this segment, we're going to start it off with Spartan here.
First of all, I just got to say that it's interesting. I saw, and this was a meme, but I thought it was interesting that for the first time in decades, there isn't a Bush, a Clinton, or a Cheney in power anywhere in this country. Think about that for just a minute before we get started there. Number one. So way to go, Wyoming. We applaud you. Well done. And I only hope that our own states can mimic your behavior. All that being said, I got to ask you a question. How fucking delusional do you have to be to get your ass kicked by 40 points, almost 40 points, because I know you fact checkers are out there, almost 40 points by your own constituent voting for somebody else, and then be delusional enough to announce that you're considering a future presidential run? How fucking delusional do you have to be? And then to compare yourself to Lincoln? Excuse what? Listen, Liz Cheney, the only thing you have in common with Lincoln is that your ego is the size of his fucking monument. Okay, you are beyond delusional. How often have you stepped foot in Wyoming while the whole time you've been in office? You grew up in Virginia. Your father, Darth Cheney, who, while I am a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I hated his guts when he was in office and he was serving under the Dark Lord, freaking Darth Bush. Okay, Bush 2.0. your daddy can't save you. And having him cut a commercial for you, everybody, it just proves how pathetic and out of touch you are. So my thoughts for your political future, just go to work for C-SPAN or CNN. That way you can bitch freely and still collect a paycheck without having ramifications of getting voted off the air until your ratings tank and you get your ass handed to you by somebody at Fox. Okay. And number two, if you're thinking about running for president, oh, please do. Please throw your hat into the ring for the Republican primary. I think you'll do about as well as Kamala Harris did. And you definitely are not going to get the VP nod. And you know what? That's all I'm going to say. That's my only opinion. I've never seen anyone that delusional. Okay. A 35 plus point margin. Give me a break. She's either huffing fumes or she had altitude sickness when she said that, because there was definitely no oxygen going to those brain cells. Or maybe even daddy prepared that speech. But I'm going to take it back to you, because like I said, you know, in any sport, you know, you don't see somebody, you know, one of the UFC fighters get their ass kicked in the first 30 seconds of the first round and then claim they won. Okay. I mean, look, moral victories don't count. Only victories count. And secondly, Liz Cheney, you know for a fact that what you're dealing with the January 6th subcommittee fucking farce is absolutely unconstitutional. You are living every prosecutor's dream. It's a single-sided prosecution where you have manufactured evidence that's documented, by the way. You've clipped it, cut it, and presented it and hired professional TV producers to produce it, and still nobody's watching your fucking show because they all know you're full of shit. And I'll do the news thing. Back to you, Cryptic. Good Lord.
Well, I would definitely say Spartan might have had a nagging splinter in his head waiting to get that out.
Oh, it was infected. It was infected. To hear that verbal vomit come out of that twat's mouth was just like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll get into that. Burton, do you have any thoughts to chime in past the
Spartan? No more Red Bull for you, okay?
Yeah, I have a little too much coffee, so go ahead.
Next time, whiskey.
The funny thing was when I drive through Wyoming, I drive down Interstate 80, which goes through the entire state of Wyoming. And I don't recall seeing any, and I do mean any kind of advertising or any kind of endorsement for Liz Cheney. Saw a lot of for Harry and Hagerman. I thought that was kind of cool. They're announcing billboards all over the state in reference to her. Absolutely. And, you know, my thing about Liz Cheney running for president is I'm the same way. Please do. Please run for president. I want to see you get your ass smoked even worse by your own constituents, let alone the entire country that you'll be a complete laughingstock about. Now, I know this woman ain't listening to this podcast, and that's fine. So, you know, people in Wyoming, you did the right thing. You got rid of a piece of trash that probably shouldn't have been elected in the first place, but that's okay. At least you got rid of her. You didn't let her become a career politician like a Pelosi or Maxine Waters or Frederica Wilson or, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and those kinds of people. So you got rid of the trash better sooner than later. But yeah, Liz Cheney running for president, to me, that was a complete ego trip. There's no way in hell that woman has any intention of thinking she could ever become president. She couldn't even get herself out of the state of Wyoming without getting her ass kicked. So yeah, if you want to be like Kamala Harris and don't even carry your own state running for president, please go for it. I'd love to see the results.
Well said, brother. Well said.
Absolutely. So... my take on Liz.
Oh, this is good.
I feel like I should just like beep everything I'm about to say, but I'll keep it somewhat toned down as the best I can. All right. Well, first of all, congrats to Wyoming for, again, wising up and making the right call. You know, this should really be a wake-up call to all politicians, whether you're on the left or the right. Maybe you should give a shit about your constituents and those that have voted you to represent them, as opposed to instead ignoring them and fiending over Trump. I mean, let's face it. I guarantee you, you lost most of the state of Wyoming when your fucking dumbass decided to automatically flip and hop on the January 6th committee and choose to impeach Trump. And God knows all the other bullshit that you decided to do. That should have been the first wake up call. The second, to compare yourself to Lincoln. I mean, I don't know what fumes you were smoking. I don't know, you know, I can't even fathom how you could even comprehend putting yourself in the same category as Lincoln. You haven't done anything to benefit this great country. You haven't done anything to benefit your constituents. I mean, you are just a waste of fucking space. That's all you are. That's all you will be. Now, am I glad that she's gone? Absolutely. Sorry, my dogs again.
Mascots, brother. Mascots.
It's
all
good. I'm telling you, it's mascots because they can't stand me talking about Cheney. Like, they were quiet until I started talking about this. Even dogs don't like her.
Or Biden, for that matter.
So, I mean, you know, this should be a wake-up call to the rhinos on what's going to happen to you when you continue to run your own agenda and sit on your cushiony pillows and say, yes, you're Republican, even though we all know it's only in name. You're going to get voted out. You are going to, your constituents, your community, everybody's going to turn on you. I mean, like Spartan said, you know, losing by 40 some percent or 40 points. I mean, you got slapped harder than a redheaded stepchild, and you just need to accept it and you need to fucking go away. I mean, the January 6th, you know, isn't even something that anybody cares about. The hearings that you're doing, I shouldn't say January 6th itself, but the hearings that you're attempting to do, to attempt to have the effect of taking Trump down so that you guys don't have to worry about him running in 2024, is not working. Nobody gives a shit. You might as well have just, I don't know, done Discovery Channel as a documentary or some bullshit. Either way, that's all I really can say about this. Like, I mean, my head hurts and I'm done talking about her. She's not even worth it.
She ain't worth the migraine, brother. She ain't worth the migraine.
Seriously. Does anybody else have anything else to add on this?
No, I'm good, man. I've said my piece on this. Jesus.
Go for it, Liz. Go for it.
Right? That's all we can hope for is give us some comic relief in the presidential primaries.
Yeah, bring it, please. Yeah.
I can just see the campaign signs now. Do you want someone who lost by 40% or 40 points?
In their home state.
Yeah. In their home state. Yeah. Well, Midnight Patriot Nation, this has been your boys Cryptic and Spartan and Burton, giving you a good dose of the Liberty virus tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed our tidbits and our rants and raves. And I don't really have any more final thoughts. Spartan, do you got anything to final wrap it up to?
Man, that's following you is difficult, man. I can tell you that. You're a tough act to follow, my friend. My only final thoughts are, if you're a rhino like Liz Cheney, Trump has essentially broken you. Trump's broken the system, and it needed to be broken. Trump's biggest quality, and the thing that I particularly, in my personal opinion, makes him the best candidate ever. He didn't create these rhinos. He didn't create the corruption. He just made them expose themselves. Okay. Just like a desperate flasher on a subway. So, you know, Anthony Weiner. With that being said, everybody take care of yourselves. Get your asses out and vote. Remember to live free, and the Constitution is not just a suggestion.
Midnight Patriot Nation. On behalf of Spartan, Cryptic, and Jack Burton, thanks for hanging out with us and listening. Be sure to visit us at midnightpatriots.com for all our social links and gear. Always remember, the Constitution is not just a suggestion.